Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eden, and I am here with the talk of the town.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Here's the talk of the town.
We take you to the Hotel Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music.
Town.
Live with the Middleman Presents Talk of the Town with Nick Eden. How's everybody doing tonight? I'm doing pretty good, actually. I've actually had a pretty good week. I can't complain. I am your host, Nick Eden. I got my man Kev holding down the board for me back there with his coffee. Oh, I said I want to talk about his coffee no more. We'll leave his coffee alone.
Yeah.
Y'all excited about his coffee.
Buddy. Chill out.
It ain't Starbucks, but you know, hey, it's
the Walmart brand.
Glad everybody's tuning in. This week we are talking about the men behind the music, the ones who make the artists that you see on 106 and Park and see them on tour. These are the guys who take them from signing the paperwork all the way to getting on that first major tour. These are the A&Rs. Show is called Executive Decision. I had a couple of executive decisions I'm going to start making. Because clearly, the last time I talked to y'all about this, my check didn't get cleared. And the middleman told me to take it up with HR. But
well,
I didn't know we had an HR department.
I'm just saying, man, you know, hey, man, I told you, holler at me on the 32nd of this month. We got you.
Y'all hear this, don't you? On the 32nd, this is the last broadcast of Talk of the Town. I'm just letting y'all know now.
Chill out.
It was a good week this week. Good week in entertainment. For those of you who didn't know, of course, you know, we had the Grammys last week. And, this week, legendary African-American music exec Steve Stout did an open letter to the Grammys. And basically, he was just, he kind of gave it to them. You know, he went a little hard on them. Like, you know, y'all, basically, he was like, y'all effing up. Bad. I don't know what's wrong with you. But y'all need to get it together. I don't know how people felt about that. A couple of people were mad, you know, some of the upper echelon of the music business, they weren't too happy with what he had to say. But, hey, it is what it is. So basically what he told them was, you know, you guys are a little out of touch. You're using these artists to promote your show, but you have your hidden agenda of giving whomever you want to see win the awards when it's supposed to be a voting process. And I kind of agree with him. You know, they did this a few years ago. I don't know if anybody remembers, there was this big fiasco because NDRE was nominated for 7 awards. You know, they advertised and they pumped it up. You know, NDRE, you know, going to be there. She's going to be performing. She actually performed. Gave out, like, the big award. She walked away with absolutely no Grammys that night. And a lot of people were mad. So a lot of people feel like it was the same thing this time around, you know. Another interesting night in entertainment happened this week. Whew, was the BET Honors. And I don't know, it was a little different this year. With the BET Honors, they honored a plethora of artists, not just one particular. One that kind of threw me off was Jamie Foxx. I was like, really appreciate Jamie for everything he's done over the last few years, but, you know, a BET honor, that soon? You know, you get nominated right along with Herbie Hancock. Herbie Hancock's about 40, 50 years in deep, you know. Wasn't that long ago when A Little Color was out, I'm just saying. But no. Nevertheless, they had some, you know, some artists performing and everything, and Trey Songz was the big talk of the week. Trey can't even sing his own song. I don't understand that, but you know, it's one thing when you mess up like doing a tribute to somebody, but like when you mess up your own song, how does that really work? You know, he's just kind of all over the place. He kind of sounded like a goat, to be honest.
Keith Sweat Jr.
I'm just saying, he sounded like Baba Black Sheep.
Keith Sweat Jr. That's Keith Sweat Jr., man.
Yeah. Now, let me say something. Hold on, because I've seen Keith Sweat perform live.
He's got a dope show, man.
Yeah, but he's a lot better than Trey Songz. Sorry.
Yeah, but they still sound like Billy Ghost.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, what can you say? Nicki Minaj is back in the news once again. I think that Nicki is going to, like, overload in a minute. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm hating on Nicki Minaj. I'm not hating on Nicki Minaj at all. I just think that, you know, given the fact that there aren't many female hip-hop artists out right now, because she's the only one that is really kind of out there, she's like, you're giving her a little too much too soon. You know, they're already calling her the queen of hip-hop, and that's not something you necessarily earn in 2 years. Well, really, a year and a half. But she's back in the news. You know, she's talking about her haters and her frenemies and different things like that. And I think when it gets to that point where, you know, you're in the news for talking about people that are hating on you, I think at that point you might be a little overexposed. But hey, what can you say? They like it, I love it. What's going on with you, Uncle?
Nothing much, man. You know, I got one of my new favorite records of the year, man. We're going to have to play it on one of your shows, man, when we talk about hip-hop. It's called Rap Sucks.
Rap Sucks?
Rap Sucks. And it's by my man, Four Eyes. Man, the record is dope. Dope.
Where has Four Eyes been?
Man, I guess he's just been working, man, doing his thing. I ain't mad at him.
No, I ain't mad at him either. You know, shout out to him. Hope everything works out for him.
Yeah, you know how it is, man. You know, one minute you got it like you want, the next minute it, you know, kind of wavered in. Next thing you know, you're back like you used to have it.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough and down the flow of this music business.
Yeah, speaking of Four Eyes, that kind of segues into what we're actually talking about. Because one of our special guests today is actually an A&R over at Disturbing the Peace, which, if anybody is familiar with Four Eyes, you know he started out with Ludacris. So, you know, kind of segues into that. I don't know what really happened in that situation. Like, from my understanding, they're still kind of cool. But
yeah, it wasn't anything bad. It didn't part ways. From my understanding, it wasn't anything negative. You know, it's just when you decide to make decisions for yourself, sometimes you got to step out like a man and make decisions for yourself, and that's what he did.
I can feel that. I can definitely feel that.
You know, instead of just riding up under somebody's coattail. You ride up under somebody's coattail, man. It ain't no good.
I don't think he's riding coattails, but
no,
I
said some people will.
Oh well, yeah, you're right. Some people will. There's something else they ride, but this is a family show, guys. We don't say that around. I'll leave that alone. But we're talking about A&R today. and what it is that they do. A lot of people say that the A&R is obsolete in today's market. I don't necessarily know if I agree with that. I think that a lot of people who are A&Rs, they are they're still trying to earn, because the music industry changes so much that naturally the job description is going to change. So whereas I think people get a preconceived notion in their head about what an A&R is based on what went on in the 90s, 80s, 70s, and 60s, it's completely different today. So I don't know. I've run across a few A&Rs, and to be honest, I think it's based on not only the genre, I think it's based on the company, what type of company it is, where you have these smaller labels, these smaller independent labels like a Grand Hustle or a Disturbing the Peace.
Mm-hmm.
They are, they're a little bit more hands-on than the major companies. You know, the major companies is just like, oh, does this person have a movement going? Okay, let's go ahead and sign them up. I'm signed in. Let's go ahead and make it work. Now let's put the record out. So, hey, what can you say? What we're going to do is we're going to go into actually our first clip, which is actually what the first clip is. It's going to introduce our first guest. Our first guest of the day is Sal. He's an A&R for DTP Records. Done a lot of work with Player Circle, Ludacris himself. You know, he represents what I feel is the new A&R, because he is he's representing the younger generation that's not coming in with a preconceived notion of what the job is, or, oh, things used to be like this in the 90s. He's coming in as a grinder, as, you know, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm here to make a change. I'm here to make this title great again. Because there was a time that was a great title. I think people just got kind of, you know, upset with it over time. His first placement was actually on Ludacris' Battle of the Sexes album. And that's actually what we're going to play today. So we're going to go ahead and get into that first clip, and then right after that, we're going to bring Style in. You got that first clip loaded up, Ken?
Really do.
All right, let's run it. This is Ludacris with his intro to Battle of the Sexes.
Now I heard the ladies, they aight, but they ain't hitting on nothing. Do my fellas run this up?
Hell yeah.
The fellas, they aight, but they ain't hitting no nothing. Do my ladies run this pump, girl?
Luda! On your mark, get set, put the music in the deck and turn it up and let the system go. You may heard a lot of people in the past, but they never heard it again like this before. Ain't nobody better, let the record show. If they got an order, let a check just blow. Over the border, I'll be in Mexico, throwing it up like an anorectic. Anybody thinking like they just don't know? Tell them that Luda got an electric flow. Come and see me live in a record show. Suck again, they better find an exit road. Extra cheese and an extra dough, and I'ma keep going till the record's broke. So if you don't mean what you say when you spit it on the track, what the fuck you rapping for? Women wanna give me and I can't say no, so I get them fast and I section slow. But every now and then it get hectic. They holding on tight to a nigga and I gotta let go. Gotta go sign on the X with O. Wrist gotta sign in my neck just glow. It's a man's world and all you women, I just want the rest.
Now I heard the ladies, they aight, but they ain't hitting on nothing. Do my fellas run this bump up?
Hell yeah.
Now I heard the fellas, they aight, but they ain't hitting on nothing. Do my ladies run this bump up?
You are back live with the Middleman Presents Talk of the Town with Nick Eden. And that was the intro to Ludacris' Gold Certified Battle of the Sexes album. And the man responsible for that, I have on the line right now. He is an A&R executive for Disturbing the Peace Entertainment, also Duffel Bag Studios. Let's go ahead and give a nice little warm Middleman welcome to Sal. Sal, you with us?
Yo, what up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, man, I got you.
How you doing, brother? Nothing right now. I'm actually in the middle of judging auditions for the Encore Talent Showcase that's going to be happening March 6th in Atlanta, but I took a break. I told them I had to go chop it up with my people, so I'm here. I heard the intro. I'm excited. I appreciate what you said, brother. What's good?
Man, It's good to have you here, man. What I'm telling people, man, is that you're representing what I feel is what's called the new A&R. You're a lot more interactive with not just unsigned artists, songwriters, and producers, but just people in general. Like, I do follow you on Twitter, and one thing I noticed is that you're very interactive. People are like, you know, a lot of people come to you on a daily basis. I'm pretty sure, hey, how can I get on this? How can I get on that? And you're actually, you know, giving them steps to get to you, and you're accessible. Tell us how you got to start, and tell us why you have the attitude of being so accessible.
Well, I actually got my start. I actually started out in radio. I was I'm from North Carolina originally. I was going to college at Winston-Salem State University, but I wanted a job, like a job, something that I wanted to do. So I said, what do I want to do with my life? I want to work in music. So I ended up getting an internship at 102 Jams in Greensboro, North Carolina. Worked there for, I got hired eventually doing research, but I started to realize I didn't like radio. I didn't want to work in radio. It was the same songs we didn't play. It didn't make me happy. So I said, I really want to do the same thing at a label. So basically what I did, man, I shot my resume to some contacts I had made. Like, when labels would service the radio station with their records, I would keep all the contact info. I had a shoebox with just different record label contacts, and I emailed everybody like, hey, I want an internship. This is what I do. And I eventually got an internship at a production company that made CDs and mixtapes for different artists and different DJs and whatnot. That turned into a job. I ended up moving to Atlanta, taking an internship. I didn't have no money, stayed in a hotel my first week, but it turned into a job. And I started grinding in the industry, like making my name. I didn't know anybody at all. And one day I eventually ran into Chaka Zulu, who's CEO of Disturbing the Peace. He also co-manages Ludacris. I ran into him at a club, and I had seen him speak at an award show where he won an award, and he was saying how we needed more people behind the scenes in the industry. So I told myself, if I ever meet this man, I'm going to approach him and tell him I was inspired. I want to intern. So I approached him in the club. He was such a cool guy. He gave me the number I needed to call. I had to call for a week and still send my resume. And they started me out in the A&R department, interning under Ken Bailey, who was the head A&R at the time. Was that too much?
No, not at all. Not at all. Honestly, what I try to do with Talk of the Town is I try to give people information. I try to be as informative as possible, because there's a lot of people that do not know how this process works. A lot of people sit there and they think internship, oh, I don't want to work free and this and that. And I try to tell them, like, look, stop thinking about the now. Think about what's going to happen, you know, two, three years down the line.
What I learned that you know, everybody's trying to get on, everybody wants a job, but with record labels, I learned that they really hire inside the company. So if you're not already in the loop, they're not really hiring outside of the company. So the best way to do that is to work for free. You tell somebody you want to work for free, who's gonna turn you down? I was basically like, yo, I'm here to work, and they gave me an opportunity. It was hard. I had to do a lot of stuff that people didn't want to do, but you know, I knew it would pay off eventually.
Gotcha. Talk about your first album placement.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was surprised I got the plaque too. But actually, the first A&R credit I got was on an album by an artist named Willie Northpole out of Phoenix, Arizona. He was signed to DTP. He's still signed to DTP. It was the album called Connect. That was like 2008. That was my first actual credit, like where you can go see my name on an album credit, which was crazy. But my first actual placement was the Battle of the Sexes intro that you just played. It was a beat done by a producer named XL out of Chicago, my homie. He also did Get It From Here for Shauna and a couple other records, but he had sent it to me, and when I heard it, I knew it sounded like something Chris would jump on, so I emailed it to him. I send him beats, like, all the time. He hits me back all the time about the ones he likes. If he doesn't respond, I know he doesn't like it. But he hit me back like, yo, I love the record. Hold on to the beat. Time passed on. I didn't actually hear the song until I actually got my first copy of the CD. We were in the office listening to it, and they played it. And I was like, oh, that's the beat. He actually did it. So that's how that happened, man. And it ended up getting a plaque, and it was just like, I was like, that's damn me. I felt like I made it. Not that I made it, but I felt like, all right, I'm here now.
It's a good start, though, especially when you think about today's sales climate and everything. And I do remember that Willie Northpole album. If I'm not mistaken, KO did the first single on that one, didn't he?
He did a lot of work with KO, but the first single was produced by Nard and B, I think, and it featured B.O.B.
Yeah.
It was called Hood Dreamer.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, now I know you have some other ventures outside of, well, they're tied into BTC, but you have some other ventures like Industry Rewind.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit. Just let me know about that and how unsigned artists, songwriters, and producers can get to you through that site.
All right. I remember, like, coming up when I was trying to get on, trying to get an internship, it was so hard just to get people to respond to my emails or return my phone calls. So I still remember that feeling. So once I got with DTP and I started working and my name started getting known and I started working with these artists and dealing with people, there's so many people that hit me up every day on Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, text message, emails about their music. Hey, I'm trying to get heard. I'm trying to get signed. I got beats. So it was overwhelming. Like, I was just responding to everybody from my BlackBerry for like a year or two. But then I said, I need a way to filter it out and a way to kind of control it, because it's so overwhelming. So I set up a website, which is a way for producers to get their beats to all our artists for free. If you have videos and you're an artist, you can get your video featured on the website for free. It was almost like a way to just kind of give back, because it's so hard to get to everybody. So I was like, this is a way I can give back and kind of give you guys a little push. And for those who are serious about their career, who really want their music heard and want me to sit down and kind of help them get along and put them on the label's radar, I set up a way they can get a single review. And the single is also submitted for a mixtape we're putting out. I'm putting it out called the Disturbing Streets Mixtape with BTP artists featuring with independent artists. And it's just some free promotion, man. Like I said, in 2011, I'm here to help independent artists. I got family that's still in the streets that's trying to get on and stuff like that. So it's my way to kind of give back and help somebody. You feel me?
Got you. And for all of our listeners who are out there, if you go to the Middleman Talk Show Facebook page, you can see the link to MP3 Rewind. It's on there. Click the link. Follow the link. All you aspiring producers, artists, and everything.
What part of the strength? Can I stress this real quick about the website, though? Like I was telling people, because sometimes people hit me like, yo, why do I have to do this to get you to listen to my music? I'm trying to explain to people this is a free look. If you got beats that you want to get to Luda or Titty Boy or Scrappy or whoever's on our label, send them to me. I'm sending those off for free. I'm listening to them. I'm giving you feedback that a lot of people are not going to, a lot of these NRs is not going to listen to your CD. I'm doing that. With the videos, if you got music videos, if it's a hot video, send it to me. I'll put it on the website for free. That's looks. You building a fan base. So I just want to stress to people, it's like I'm trying to give you a way to get heard, to get on that radar. So make sure you check it out.
Right. Gotcha. Okay, mm-hmm. Definitely. We'll be filtering people through that. We deal with a lot of artists. I know between Kevin, Al, and myself, there's hundreds of artists a day.
Yeah.
We'll definitely be filtering them in through the price.
I got to get you a picture, too, man. A picture of me, bro. I forgot.
Hey, I got it. Yeah,
all right,
I got it.
Cool.
I'll scratch one up. What's okay on your radar right now? Which projects coming up are you working right now?
Right now, mainly I've been on the road with Titty Boy, aka 2 Chainz, from Player Circle. He just dropped his mixtape Codeine Cowboys yesterday with DJ Technique, and it's blowing up on the internet. So we've been in a different city every week, a couple different cities every week, on the road with him, on the road with Dollar Boy. Dollar Boy dropped a mixtape with Bigger Ranking called Public Enemy Number One, pushing those. But as far as album wise, I'm working with the newest group I signed, TK and Cash. They're from Augusta, Georgia, two young cats. They've been on the road with Luda. They're on the follow-up tour with Lil Scrappy right now. Just making sure their project is classic. It's called G-Shock Music. We're just trying to separate ourselves from everybody else and kind of make good music, because these are young cats, and they can make club records and booty shape records, but they know music. They know hip-hop. So I'm trying to just get them on the right type of production, come with song concepts, and just make it exciting, man. I remember when albums were exciting, like Ready to Die, Me Against the World. I want to bring that back, man.
Gotcha. We talk about that
Rock,
all the time.
Chill, smooth, you know, real. Like, not to say I listen to everything, but you know, I want these kids today need to know that there's good music out there, man.
Okay, well, that kind of takes me to my next question. What do you think about the state of hip hop right now?
It's a lot, man. Hip hop is like my life, my love. I love it. It's good and bad. I think the best thing that's happening right now is that the artists are realizing that the power is back in your hands. Like, you know, you might not hear a lot of people that work for labels say this, but hey, you can really make it happen on your own. You really don't need but so much to really get your name out there. If you're serious about this and this is what you want to do as a career and make money, if you just want to rap and be hot, you can do that in your basement. But if you want to get in the music business, which is like the business of selling music, you can get out there, man. The internet is like a marketplace to the world. So with viral videos, with websites, blasting your music out, and just getting out on the grind in the streets, you can definitely make it happen. So I think that's beautiful to see artists like Wiz Khalifa or these other guys that built from the ground up and get these major deals. Look at what Travis Porter did, you know? That's kind of like a blueprint for a lot of these independent artists. But at the same time, I feel like, oh, man, that's a lot. Right, we can go on and on about this one right here, man. I don't know if you want me to go in like that.
Hey, man, feel free.
it's just, man, it's like, how can I say this? I just really want the music to come back to being about the music, man. Like, the internet has kind of changed the game a little bit. But like I was stressing, I think it's good for the independents to understand the independence and what that means. You're not tied to a corporate structure, so you can make the music you want. You can put out the videos you want to know what you're doing and do the right thing with it, man. I'm excited about the about where hip-hop is. I can't wait for some of this new blood to get further in the game so people can really see what it is and we can really do what we need to do with this.
Right.
Hey, what's up, Sal? It's Kevin right here, man. What's going on?
What up, brother?
Oh, everything's good, man. Now, I got a question for you, man. I mean, you can sound like you got an ear for it, and I know you got an ear for it because you're doing what you do.
Yeah.
What do you think about Fruity Loops versus real musicians? I mean, do you think we need to get back to the point where we're training these kids how to play instruments and understand what they're putting together layer over layer instead of just digitally doing it? What do you think about that?
I think everything is beautiful because it's all hip-hop, if you ask me. Like, it's an art to sampling, you know? It's an art to being able to play an instrument, which I think if you're a producer, you need to know that. But it's also an art to using these new programs or whatever to make beats. Like, I think whatever works for you is what you should run with. Like, I think the live music is great. I think that sample-based production is great. But I also like the digital-type electric beats if you do it right, if you know what you're doing. To me, it's all up to the melody.
Right.
If you understand melody and you understand beats and you understand lyrics, then it don't really matter what you use, is what you do with it.
I feel you on that, man. But, you know, as Nick probably told you, we all from the Silk, man. And I sat over the Delta, man, up in an old wooden shack with some old cats playing them guitars, man. And you seen that spirit, man.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times cats, it's bland. And it's just my opinion.
Uh-huh.
It can become bland when people just, I can put this together. I mean, they can understand rhythmatic, putting the sequences together. But when it comes to putting that soul and that flavor in it, man, you know, that funk,
yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? It seems like we're missing that.
I mean, you got to look at, I understand what you're saying, but you got to look at the day and age we're in with these kids.
Oh, yeah, you're
like
right,
information.
You're right. Right.
They don't even care no more about real music, and I think that's the problem. It's one thing if
right.
you just use a computer to do your beats or whatever, but if you don't understand the history of where this music came from and what your forefathers brought to the table, then it's a problem. Like I said, I recommend any producer or artist nowadays to go back and listen to not just old hip-hop, but go listen to old soul music. Go listen to Earth, Wind & Fire, Anita Baker. I'm not that old, but I know music, you know what I'm saying, from just growing up, my parents playing it. My father's the director of the Otasia Creative Arts Ensemble, which is an African dance company, so I grew up around music all my life, so I know the best of both worlds, really.
Right.
You know?
I feel you on that, man. I'm just an old kid,
like
old soul, man.
Not to cut you off, I just feel like what's missing the most in this game, and I stress this, is balance. Like, I remember coming up watching Rap City. I see N.W.A. video, then I might see a conscious-type video, like KRS-One or whatever. It's like, we need to see everything. Everything not a party, but I don't want to listen to Talib Kweli every hour. You know what I'm saying? You got to balance it out. I need my positive. I need my gangster rap. I need my party rap. I need my lyrical stuff. Like, you know? Everybody be happy there.
Yeah, it's a rarity to find that, man. I grew up in that same, as we call it, the golden era. You know.
Yeah.
You don't have that no more. But I'm
man,
not tripping on the kids,
best.
Man.
Yeah, to me, the, like, my golden era was, like, between, I want to say, like, other people have different ones. My older brothers will yell at me, but, like, for me, it was, like, 94 to, like, 90, maybe 99, maybe 98. I came into the game when Outkast came out, when Biggie first came out, the Fugees,
right.
Tupac. It was like, all right, I love this shit.
Oh, man, you taking it back. But we go a little bit far. Maybe the 90 to maybe 98,
97-ish. Yeah. It was before, I think it was just before everybody realized it was a business, and it was like, all right, we just trying to create something. Because really, a lot of cats need to understand your CD is nothing but a product, man, with a barcode on it when it comes down to it, to these corporations. You know what I'm saying? When you go to these big offices, and I've been there, in the big offices with these people who are making all the decisions, but they got country plaques on their wall. They don't really, they ain't really care if you hot or not. It's all about, can you make my money back? And
true
that's
that.
All.
Yeah, that loan got to be paid back.
Exactly. So, man, it's like, I don't want to come off sound like, I don't sound like I'm bitter.
Definitely.
I'm not bitter at all. I love the game. I love all the new young artists. I love the old artists, but that's just what it is. And that's why I kind of, to go back to your first question, I don't want to just start rambling, but how you said why I interact with the people and let them know is because I kind of, I'm still in the streets with it, man. Like, you know, I've been able to travel and do this and do music, but at the same time, you'll catch me in this club or catch me in the Blue Flame or interacting with the people. I love the hood, man. I'm not no ignorant person. I'm not no hood thug or nothing like that, but I love my people. And my people trying to get into this rap game, and I'm from there, so how can I be in it and not help somebody and be like, yo, this is what you need to do. Come on, man. It will kill me.
Most definitely. I tell you what, though, Phil, we're definitely going to have you back, because we're going to do a part two to this.
I'm ready.
We want it to be a
little
bit more
like
a question.
I like to just get on that. If you follow me on Twitter, you know sometimes I get reckless and random. So, you know, when I start talking about something I love, I like to express myself, man. But it's all
exactly.
It's all
that's
love,
what I'm saying, though.
You know?
We need this. We need this because a lot of people, they think that these A&Rs are just robots behind the desk. And
some of them are,
not real people.
Some of them are. I can't even argue with that because I've been around them, man. Some of these cats sit in the office all day. They don't go out. And I wonder how you make this much money and you sitting around, you ain't brought an artist to the table. You're not in the streets. Not saying you got to be in the hood, in the streets, but you got to be out here with the people if you're really going to be bringing something to the forefront. You can't sit in the A&R from your laptop every day. Like, you can get it a couple days, but you got to be out there, man. That's how I feel about it.
I got you. Okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to go into our next break. Once again, brother, I thank you so much.
Oh, man, salute to y'all, man. I appreciate the opportunity. Whenever you want to do it again, you know how to contact me. One more time, www.mp3rewind.com for any artist that wants someone, you want an A&R to respond to your music, sit down with you. I offer consultations one-on-one. I offer written song reviews. You can get on the mixtape. You can get your video featured on the website. You can get your beats to Luda. It's that simple. Just hit me up.
And I'm going to go ahead and make it known now. I'm signing up for the site tonight because I'm trying to get on that new Untitled album. Tell you, those brothers right there.
But yeah, I just talked to Picasso. I had a long time with Picasso today. That's their manager. Untitled is a new group from my Toronto, Canada, R&B group signed to DTP. I actually got to go to Caravana Fest with them last year. Had a ball. They showed me love in Toronto. But I want to stress this about the website. People always ask me, hey, I want to sign up. It's not really, you don't even have to sign up. Go to my service page and read what email address to send what. If you got beats, it's an email for that. If you got a song you want to get reviewed and you want to get on the mixtape with Titty Boy and everybody, it's an email for that. If you got a video, it's an email for that. It's real simple. All you got to do is read. And if not, hit me at King_Saladin on Twitter, and I will hit you back and let you know what you need to do. Right?
That's what's up.
Okay.
I'm everybody to go to that site. Go to the site. As a matter of fact, when we go into this next break, what we're about to do is we're actually about to play one of the new records from Untitled. It's called Don't Stop. And for all you old Iron Silk fans,
they
did this record. So, Sal, thanks again, man. We appreciate you so much. We're definitely going to have you back when we do part two of Executive Decision.
Uh-huh.
And we'll be sending everybody we know to that site.
Shout out, man. Salute. I appreciate y'all.
All good.
Right,
this is Mill Man Present, Talk the Town with Nick Eaton. Here's Untitled, with Don't Stop.
Hey, boy. You look the way I move. Why you don't come closer? I can show you how I do it.
The way you're popping up and down. Please don't stop. Gotten me.
Untitled with Don't Stop, Disturbing the Peace Entertainment's new R&B group. These guys are actually from Toronto.
Whoo, that was hot.
I know.
Man, do you know that right there actually almost sound like the original? But it was like a Lil G, please forgive me. That was actually a little bit doper.
No, let me tell you something though. This is what's so funny. These cats are from Toronto.
What
this is like this Canadian invasion going on in the music business right now.
I'm just saying, though, man, they're still black people from Canada that can sing. That's pretty dope.
From Canada.
Yeah. I like that, son. That's, man, hey, I need the link. I need to have that in my iPod.
I will post
right
the link.
Now.
It's going to be on the link. They also have another R&B artist by the name of Rudy Current. A lot of people that are listening that may be familiar with the independent soul scene, like artists like Darian Brockington and Eric Roberson. They're familiar with Rudy Kearns. Multi-instrumentalist, great vocalist. Like, they got a lot of talent over at Disturbing the Peace. And if you can't tell by listening to Sal tonight, they got some people over there behind them that really want to push, you know, some real talent to the forefront. So, I'm with, if every A&R, and this is just my thing about it, if every A&R took that type of attitude, you know, and that type of approach to music, I think that hip hop and R&B would be a little bit better.
True. You know
did
what?
You notice though,
nothing. Not sorry about just jumping in there, but man, I got to give it to that dude, man. Sal got passion, and I can hear it in his voice because, you know, a lot of guys, man, you know, they don't think that laterally as far as when it comes to music. They think one way, and that's it. And I can see he still has a passion for music when I listen to him talk.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, and to be honest, it's rare. It's so rare nowadays. Did you notice that with one thing he said, that when he was talking about the going to the other companies and seeing some of the A&R that sit behind the desk, he was like, they have country plaques on their wall. Now, what does that tell you? They don't care about us.
They don't listen to hip-hop.
They don't care about us, which is why, and that's another reason you know, I think that's something that I guess through years of our experience, a lot of people have told me that listen to the show, you know, Kev, Al, and Nick, man, y'all talk a lot about independence. And like even when we have Charlie on the show,
mm-hmm.
he talks a lot about being independent.
Right.
It's just like Sal just said, you know, you might not want to hear this from an A&R, but you need to get this popping yourself. It's more beneficial for you in the long run. Nobody's saying that you don't need the label. We're not saying that. But what we're saying is that you want to have as much value to yourself as possible so that if a situation like that comes along, then you're not just coming in there and just being like, I just talked to a friend of mine today. He signed to I wasn't going to say their name, but he signed to Convict Music, Akon's label.
Mm-hmm.
And he's frustrated because his album just got shelved.
Well,
but he just went and signed the first thing he could get his hands on. Oh, I'm a signed artist. I'm with Akon now. Look what he did for T-Pain. Look what he did for Lady Gaga. He's going to do that for me.
But Nick, you got to think about it, man. A lot of people, man, they just want to go for the gusto off the rip. I mean, I've known people since this whole time I've been involved with music, man. They never, ever looked at it from the standpoint of, let me do something for myself first. And my whole philosophy on it. What's the difference between you and a prostitute on the street? The same thing the label going to do. They're going to pimp you, use you, and you thrown away.
Yeah, but the difference is at least they're going to get their cut.
But I mean,
at
man.
Least the prostitute's going to get a cut.
I still remember the day when cats were coming out of the trunk with records, you know, making, as you say, executive decisions on their own. Man, we've seen artists from Master P to MJG to, you know, I can't say Outkast, even though they are forefathers of the South. I've never seen them hustle on the street. But I've seen a lot of artists from Scarface to, man, a lot of hip-hop artists and R&B artists. Because I remember, man, seeing Keith Sweat back in 89. Back in the day, man, just out there getting it before he really got big. I mean, dude, I'm not telling my age, but, you know, a lot of these people used to hit the chip.
You are telling your age.
Color.
Okay.
Hey, man, I'm just saying, son. I'm just saying, though. I remember when people used to get out there and make it happen.
Watch me what we're going to do. We got another clip, and I know I've been called a conspiracy theorist.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually taken from a panel from the South by Southwest conference, music conference that happens every year. And this
okay.
is a group of A&Rs who are, for lack of a better term, on the fair-skinned side. You know, they're slightly Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about their process. They're talking about their process of signing acts. And when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about the difference between the urban executives and the upper echelon
mm-hmm.
corporate one.
Right.
So we're going to go ahead and get into that A&R clip. Let's go ahead and play that. This is The Middlemen Present, Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton on Block Talk Radio.
So you guys, we talked about the differences in the labels that you guys work for or and/slash own. And I thought it would be a good idea to kind of talk about your perspective for what's important to your label, and then we'll move into talking about the signing process.
Being a small label and being an owner-operator, it's important to me that when we sign a band, there's some momentum with the band coming in the door. That's a really attractive thing to us. And what you look for when you're trying to find a band to work with is a band that in theory is not waiting for you to come sign them. They're out playing shows, they're out touring, they're putting their own records out, they're active on their social networks. They're not, you know, more times than not, the bands that I've most wanted to sign. I don't say they were ambivalent about signing, but they weren't waiting around to get a deal before they were moving forward. So it's really important to not wait for one of us to get things going.
My job was to
find something that I thought was great and then see if I could find some like qualifying evidence about that act. Maybe they're selling some records here. Maybe they're doing a particular number of tickets a night. Maybe they're selling merch. Anything, or you know, maybe they've got a ton of press or they're doing well online. Anything that can kind of help support my case for a band that I wanted to sign.
When you go to these other cities, which I mainly stay away from L.A. and I don't go out in New York as much as I used to, I do go to these like tertiary rural places because that's the people who go to Walmart and Target, Best Buy, Kmart, and all these places that you know people hate to you know don't really want to talk about, but there are people who actually go and buy records and not industry people. And you know, that's important because that's what keeps our jobs and keeps us all in the business.
Mm. Wow. Did you notice two recurring themes in that clip, Tiff? And if you're just tuning in, that was a clip of an A&R panel at the South by Southwest Music Conference a couple of years ago. And these gentlemen were all white. These were all white executives. But if it was two reoccurring themes in there. One, they were primarily saying that they were looking for artists who had their own situations going.
Mm-hmm.
But the second thing that I noticed was that I didn't hear them say, they were saying about the bands and their playing live, but you didn't necessarily hear them say anything about urban artists.
True.
You know, I think there's definitely a difference in the way that urban artists approach the music business as opposed to their Caucasian counterparts.
You know what, nigga, it's funny that you said that, man, because I don't know if it's just a coincidence, but I heard another show, not on Blog Talk, but a national syndicated show, they were talking about the same thing. They were saying that with your Caucasian artists, you know, they invest so much money into them that they can't let them fail. You know what I'm saying? But when you turn around and look at an urban act or a hip-hop or R&B act, they use you up until you're not viable anymore and they throw you away. And that seems to be the approach of what they want to do for artists in the urban genre. I don't know if you agree with that, but that was kind of ironic that, you know, what you're talking about is along the same line of what I heard also.
Well, okay, I'll put it to you this way. I totally agree, because when was the last time you heard about a rock band signing a ringtone deal?
When the last time you ever seen a rock band break up? They'll send their butt to rehab.
Oh, yeah, they'll send them to rehab, and you got to handle that. You come back and do this. There's a lot more development, I think, in those acts than there is in urban acts.
Oh, yeah.
And I do want to just take a pause, just pause from that for a second to tell everyone that I did receive an email from Skid, who is the A&R director at Bad Boy Records. He apologized that he couldn't make it tonight. He is going to be back for part two. So everybody who had questions for Skid, because he runs a similar website to Sal's website, he's a very interactive A&R. So he apologized that he's not able to make it on this round. He will be back for executive decision part two. So those questions you got, hold those. We're going to have them back.
Okay. Back to you, Kev.
But yeah, they don't, but once again, you got to look at it. You take these guys who most of these gentlemen who are the A&Rs at these companies, they are from these major music meccas. They're from the New York and from the Los Angeles and then Nashville. Yeah, they take a different approach because they look at it like Sal said a little earlier, as a CD with a barcode on the back. It's just a product with a barcode. You know, I don't understand why it is that the music business seems to not respect the urban genre. It's just like our very first show with Talk of the Town, with them not respecting the R&B hip-hop part, them not respecting what it is that we do. Why is it that they don't respect this urban music that we do? And it shows from making their projects to, you know, to shop. I'll give you a prime example. And a lot of people might not be the biggest fan of this guy, but taking back to Gucci Mane.
Mm-hmm.
Gucci Mane, you know, he hit the scene under an independent label, Big Cat Records.
Mm-hmm.
And he put out 4 albums under Big Cat Records before signing on with Atlantic. Now, the first thing they did from Atlantic, when he got to Atlantic, is they moved him over to the Black Division. You know, wasn't too much about being an artist as it was about what your color was.
Color.
Then from, yeah. Then from there, he went from the Urban Division at Atlantic to Asylum, into which Warner Brothers took over the project. And I remember at the end of last year, you know, because he talked all those years about, you know, how he didn't like being on Big Cat and this and that. And late last year, he was on Twitter and he tweeted that, "I don't want to be on my record label anymore."
Really?
Yeah. Now, since then, he and Cat have mended their ways. They ended their beef, and he's back working with Cat. And I'm not exactly sure what the situation is with Warner right now, but they are in the process of making some type of transition back over. Because, honestly, those guys, they don't care about Gucci Mane.
No, man.
They're not in the streets. They don't know. Like, his big following is his mixtapes and his underground records. Like, they don't understand that. They understand, is it on the top 40? How many spins is it getting this week? How many ads did it get this week? Not the development of what he is and everything that was get him to the point where Atlantic was even interested. They don't understand it, and they don't want to understand it.
But it goes back to what your title is, my man. Executive decisions. I mean, it's all about making money. They ain't got to care about Gucci Mane. They ain't got to care if he burned himself out or get cracked out and get ice cream tattooed on his face. They don't care about that, as long as he's making those plaques come in. And preferably diamond, which that's going to be kind of hard for him, but he can do platinum.
This is true. I absolutely agree. I think that in this day and age, it's more about the bottom line. But at the end of the day, what's more about the bottom line? Is it, what is the legacy that your company has?
Well, I don't think they worried about their legacy, man. The last companies that would worry about legacy, and that was only to a slight degree, that was Stax, Motown, you know, small labels. They were independent labels.
But guess what, Kev? They're getting swallowed up every day. Right now, they're just talking about this on All Access today.
So oh, yes. Complete
music
consolidation, man. Warner
Music right now up for sale.
Yeah.
I remember when it was the Big Four. It's about to be the Big Two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Universal and Sony.
Yeah, it was almost meant to go back to that, man, because once you squeeze out your competition, it's the same way in the streets. Squeeze out your competition and take over. And when you come to me, you got to come to me the way I want you to come to me. That means you sell records how I say sell records. You put topics like I want to put topics, and you push the images I want you to push. That's why we're advocates for independence, man. Always have been.
And I don't want anybody out there to think that independent labels can't work, because I'm going to tell you one great example of an independent label. In case you did not know, up until 1988, Motown Records was an independent record label. That's right. All of the classic artists that we know, Marvin Gaye, Diana Ross, Temptation, everybody, they were all under an independent label. So don't think it can't work. Don't think it can't work. And if that's not the route that that you want to go, then that's fine. Utilize the outlets that you have, like the mp3rewinds.com that Sal is doing. Utilize those things. Intern. You know, we've all interned. Trust me. All of us that have a resume have interned more than once.
Yes, Lord. Hate doing it.
Yeah, you hate doing it, but then you love the experience after.
Oh, yeah. I miss
that knowledge that you get. You can't get rid of it, man. No one can take that from you.
Diane said she worked for Berry Gordy. Didn't know that.
Very interesting.
Well, we need to talk with her. I need some insight on Berry.
I think we need to bring her in for part 2. And I think part 2 is going to come a little sooner than later. I think part two is going to come a little sooner than later.
Oh, yeah, we got a couple of people.
Everybody that listened in with us. Say that.
Yeah, I said we got a couple of people, man, we can bring in for this particular show. And also on the, she's going to change it up now. She said she worked, she grew up down the road from, I guess, Motown. My bad. I read that wrong. That's why y'all keep me off this board. I'm sorry.
Man, get off the chat board, man. You're killing
me. I need glasses, man. But I'm well fed
like,
is on on the Middleman Talk Show. Yeah, big Coke bottles. But what I was saying, you know, on the Middleman Show, we're going to do that Music 101 Part 2. If y'all get the opportunity to go back to our blog talk and check that one out, we have some good guests on that particular show, man.
Yes, sir. Well, I can't wait to do that show again.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of which, this Sunday, make sure you tune in. This Sunday is a doozy, guys. This Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Blog Talk Radio /Middlemen. We're going to be talking about Transformers. And I'm not talking about More Than Meets the Eye. I'm talking about them ones that flip on you. They one way with you, but they the lady in the street with you, but they in the freaking machines with the rest of the neighborhood. I'm just, y'all got to tune into this. This one's going to be a doozy.
Oh, yes.
Make sure you tune in next week, too, Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because we're going to be talking about indie versus major. We're going to continue this, but we're going to talk about indie versus major, and we're really going to break down these label structures and what it is that they do to and for these artists.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, man, shouts out to Dub G. Shouts out to Marva. Chocolate Sex in the City.
Which is going to be on in about an hour.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be tuning in.
I wish he would call in and let everybody know what she's talking about. This is some grown folk stuff.
Yeah, they talking. Oh, yeah.
If you have
better
kids,
not bring your
not
kids.
Let them, yeah, don't bring your kids. Go ahead, Nick.
Not
I'm sorry.
Bring your
I was drinking coffee. The coffee that got me hyper.
I see, clearly. Well, since it's got you hyper, go ahead and hit that button. Take us out with this outro.
So you ready for that?
I'm ready for that, man.
This was an independent artist. He was an independent artist at one time. He's a major guy now.
Yeah, he's a major guy now.
Yeah.
Shout out to Big Chris.
Yes, sir.
The middleman shouted, Big Chris shouted. Yeah. Now, I ain't sure what you was tuning in to. We'll pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, so take a listen time out. Take a minute. Shout in and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world. You destined to earn some. Linda, here. Comment on what you hear. Let's figure out this master plan and put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't guess you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand. Stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man because he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in. Go live 6 p.m. blogtalkradio.com. The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? Blogtalkradio.com. The middle me.
Hey.
Shout
another
out to
Al. Where's Al?
Mm-hmm.
Al stabbed himself.
Last I heard, he was doing a Dougie on the church stage at church. He was doing a Dougie at church.
He was doing a Dougie at church. All right. Tell me how you really feel then.
Yeah, he was doing a Dougie at church, man.
Well, hey, you know, I guess they say come as you are. Hey, man, I'm excited about this show Sunday.
I am, too. I hope that everybody, you know, if you're listening right now, tell your friend, tell everybody. Matter of fact, tell everybody to listen to both of our shows, Talking the Town with Nick Eaton and the Middleman Talk Show on this Sunday. We come on at 6 o'clock. That's Eastern. 6 o'clock Eastern over here on the Talking the Town. We come on at 8 o'clock. That's Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. You know, come on over here. Come on, man. Come on. Listen to us. So we're going to give it to you.
You know we got a surprise for you, too.
For me?
Yeah, man.
Really?
We got a surprise for you Sunday. You know, somebody you've been missing.
Oh, ain't no surprise. Yeah. Well, hey, man. You say it, and I do it.
We definitely appreciate everybody for taking an hour out of your day to listen to Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton. And we out.